Hey everyone, this is Shepard from SocialDissonance.com.
And this is Moises Sell from the Well Done Podcast and Capcom Unity.
Since the announcement of Monster Hunter Portable 3rd in March of 2010, fans of Monster Hunter have eagerly been anticipating news of a Western release.
Capcom needs to know that it is worth investing in the franchise in the West. We're going to help them make that decision. For that reason, we're starting Operation Cherry Blossom, the movement to have Monster Hunter Portable 3rd localized in the West.
The Monster Hunter Video Podcast and Well Done Podcast have joined forces. We want to show Capcom together that the West needs another Monster Hunter.
If you have any friends you haven't introduced to the series yet, introduce them today. Both Monster Hunter Tri and Freedom Unite can be found for under $20 and still provide hundreds of hours of entertainment.
In the coming weeks, we're going to be working together with Capcom to start the Monster Hunter Festa this summer. While supplies last, you will have a chance to enter for a random drawing to win some free merchandise and swag directly from Capcom.
There are three ways to enter. The most important thing is to register on the Capcom Unity forums. Post your support in the Monster Hunter Portable 3rd/HD threads located in the description below. Talk about the things you love in the past Monster Hunters and how much you want Portable 3rd to come in the West.
You can also promote Monster Hunter through the normal social media avenues. If you log on to Facebook, you can like the official Capcom Unity Monster Hunter page by going to the link below, or facebook.com/monsterhunter. You can also send messages directly to the official Monster Hunter Twitter, @_monster_hunter. Remember to hashtag Monster Hunter and MHP3 in your messages.
You should do these things once a day. The more people we have promoting Monster Hunter, the more likely it is to come out. With any luck, you'll even get some free stuff out of it as well.
So for the Monster Hunter Podcast, this is Shepard saying good luck and have a good hunt.
And from the Well Done Podcast, if it isn't well done, it's burnt.
Welcome to the Monster Hunter Podcast Show. It's episode 51 and it's August 8th, 2011. Hi, and welcome to the Monster Hunter Podcast. I'm Chris from Game Design Scrapbook.
Hey, everyone. This is Shepard from SocialDissonance.com.
Hello, this is Noxella, also from SocialDissonance.com.
And my name is Nick, also known as Baroth on Facebook.
Looking good.
You gave it away. Oh.
You're so old.
I'm 1,400 years old.
Really?
Dirty.
Dirty. Anyway, we have a guest this week on the podcast, don't we?
Yes. How about you introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Roy. I'm from the My Fair Hunter podcast, which...
He's from the planet of the robots!
From Cybertron!
Oh no, am I roboting?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just start saying it again.
Okay, yeah, hi, my name is Roy, and I'm from the My Fair Hunter podcast, which should be going live today.
Yay! So,
oh, boy.
Yeah. Or possibly yesterday. I mean, we know how bad I am at getting this out on time,
yep.
But...
So, I was really wondering, because I saw the trailer to that, and I was wondering, what is it all about?
Well, the idea kind of just happened by accident. Basically, I have this friend who I talk to about Monster Hunter all the time, even though she doesn't play it. The only thing she really likes about it is, you know, like the cute cats, like the felines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's seen me play it, but she has very little interest in it at all.
Okay.
So one day while I was, you know, blabbering on about the game, she had this idea. She was like, what if we do a podcast where you teach me everything there is to know about the game and we record it all and we just put it, you know, in a podcast? Because literally she knows nothing. So, mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that, you know, start that way, and when they come into the series, they're kind of lost because there's just so much information and so much of it isn't really explained in the game. You kind of just have to scour the internet. So I figured if I trained her, I already kind of have a good bank of knowledge about the game. And then our goal is to have her beat every monster in Monster Hunter Tribe.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Yes.
Including everything online.
Including, yeah. I mean, we're hoping for Alatreon and Devil Joe and all that. But, you know, if, fingers crossed, Monster Hunter Portable 3rd comes out before then, we might just switch horses mid-race or whatever.
Yeah. Operation Cherry Blossom.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, yeah. Well, that's a good, actually a good. Let us do a quest. How about that? And we discuss as we go.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, that was actually, I thought that was a wonderful idea to have you on our podcast today, because for those of you who haven't checked out the last episode, we have this Operation Cherry Blossom going on right now, and it's actually all about this, right, Shepard?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, so basically, the long and short of it is, Moises L is, for those who are actually ostriches and live with their heads in the sand, the host podcast.
Wait. We have to.
What?
This is actually a myth. You know that this actually doesn't happen.
That there really are ostriches on the internet?
No, that ostriches doesn't stick their head in the sand. I googled it recently, and it's wrong, and I felt so betrayed.
Where do they stick their heads?
They don't. They're just birds.
They don't.
Hey, I went on an African safari in Texas the other day, and there was
you
a
have
whole
Africa
lot of ostriches.
In Texas?
We got everything in Texas. Do you know how big Texas is?
Large, extra large.
There's like a miniature Earth in Texas.
Don't they have a term called Texas-sized?
Yes.
Yes. Wow.
Okay. There was a lot of ostriches there, and I asked them if they ever put their heads in the ground, and they said no.
No, they never do.
Really, they just looked at me and went,
do they put their head like low to the ground, like in grass?
Maybe if they eat something on the ground.
Yeah, if they eat something. They're really probably the freakiest moving thing I've ever seen.
They are pretty frightening.
It's like, imagine a nightmare walking, and that's probably what an ostrich is.
Guys, really? You're making me really scared right now.
But they taste so good.
They taste good? You've eaten one of our fans before?
No, an ostrich.
You ate Moises?
You ate Moises L?
Oh, no.
Oh, God, Christian.
It was
supposed to come on again next month.
It was an accident.
It was an accident? Really?
He looked like a steak.
What, you accidentally cooked him and accidentally put him in your mouth and accidentally started chewing, and then you accidentally swallowed him into your stomach and passed him through your digestive tract?
He was asking for it.
That's a lot of coincidences, Christian, okay?
I'm sticking to my story.
Look, Moises L., I don't know if you're going to get flown out to Gamescom. Don't, okay? They don't have laws against this sort of thing in Germany. Christian is totally going to eat you when you get out there.
Hey, here's a little known fact. There are no laws that actually prohibit you from eating somebody.
Well, but you have to kill him.
What?
Yeah. The only way that you can get punished if you engage in the act of cannibalism is by murder charges. There's
so
no law for
cannibalism. You're trying to tell me if I come across a dead body and I start eating it, there's nothing anyone can do about it. I can't go to jail for that.
That is correct. Although, they could get you on a technicality like, say...
indecency.
Getting rid of like evidence. Like
getting rid of evidence, yeah.
Of the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, there was recently, I thought that was really creepy. There is like this possibility of to clone like meat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a tissue for medical purposes.
Like so, in Oryx and Creek.
I don't know what you're talking about, but you're probably right. So it's actually theoretically, it could be possible in the future to eat people without murdering them.
Yep.
Soylent Green, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
That is super gross.
So Oryx and Crake is a book from Margaret Atwood. Mm-hmm. Probably the theme of the book is if science actually accomplished everything it wanted to.
Okay. So what happens then?
We eat people?
they don't eat people. They grow meat like a crop.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Oh, okay.
They can actually do now. They can just grow meat in a tube or something.
Yeah, but it's like super inefficient and you know, it takes a long time and it's difficult.
They should do that with like extinct animals. So you can see Ate a dodo.
You mean like in Jurassic Park? Yeah.
My very first class in college was like an intro to anthropology course. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the guy kept telling us stories about how he was on a dig of some kind, and it was like a tar pit, and they unearthed like a fully preserved mammoth.
Oh, wow.
And so they cut off part of it and ate it.
Nice!
Yeah.
I would totally do that.
Screw history! I'm getting myself a snack!
Well, you know, it's kind of like research. You want to know what they taste.
We were talking about Operation Cherry Blossom before we started talking about ostriches and cannibalism, correct?
Yeah, we got a little bit off. I must admit, I derailed this discussion.
Hard. Super hard. So, I mean, what Operation Cherry Blossom is, it's something that we're working together with Capcom. Capcom themselves will be announcing something soon about what they're going to be doing. I had mentioned in the original video that they would be starting up the Monster Hunter Festa. Ignore that I said that. They will be doing something eventually if they decide to. Otherwise, don't count me on it. But in any case, we find that the best way to really improve Monster Hunter Portable Third's chances of coming out in the West... Oh, that is really distracting, Nick.
Yeah, oh, but then I died because I wasn't committed.
You weren't going full force. You got to commit to getting out of that stagger. Man, this is like the most disjointed things that ever happened. Will you guys stop getting knocked out?
I'm sorry. Oh, man.
How is he not going in this trap? This is so annoying.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm waiting for it.
Come on. Oh, he sees me. He sees me. Oh, he went away.
No!
Well, in any case, long story short, we're using the Capcom Unity forums to build interest, as well as Twitter and Facebook to get the word out about Monster Hunter. And hopefully between those two things, the people in charge of localizing Monster Hunter will say that it's probably enough fan interest to get the game released.
Yes.
And it's as simple as that. I mean, you know, there's no such thing as bad advertising. And right now we've got a really positive movement that's all about just getting a game out here. And people aren't angry. People aren't saying, "Rawr, Capcom, you didn't release the game on time." Like, they just want to see it come out eventually.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to stress out. You know, this is a war of love.
It is. And we're going to continue to love Capcom until they love us back.
Yes.
And that's all. That's what it's about.
And if you shouldn't get frustrated about it, you shouldn't. If you say something that somebody might get upset about, then you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah.
The idea is just to transmit a positive message that we are here and that we are, you know... Oh, wow! He got into the trap! See, he's also sending us a message of love.
And of dying.
Yes. Oh. Take my meat. You may...
What?
You may carve it.
What? Oh, okay. The Baryoth is saying that.
Yes.
Have a bag of carbs, guys.
Exactly. You are my carbs. I've been just joshing you all the time. He's kind of persistent, this guy. If I was a Baryoth, I would have flown away a long time ago.
I am sick of this.
Good day, sirs.
Hey, thanks for giving him the idea, Christian. Now he's gone. I hope you're happy.
Hey, who paintballed him?
Nobody.
I've got auto tracker.
Oh, thank you, Pat. Paintballs for everyone. Oh, yes. So, so Shepard, how can people start with this Cherry Blossom thing?
Oh, it's easy. You'll find in the description below, you'll find one link to the Capcom Unity boards.
Yeah.
There is a designated thread for support. Generally speaking, they do not allow support threads only because they tend to just go in circles and never go anywhere. However, this one has been pre-approved. And so what you should do after watching this podcast, or even right now, you can pause it. You know, YouTube actually has a feature now where they will automatically resume your video where you were last watching it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So you can just stop right now and just go there and post and say that you think that Monster Hunter is awesome and that you would really enjoy a Monster Hunter Portable Third?
Post now. Post now. Post now. Post now.
Yep, and post there once a day. Go on Twitter, tweet at _monster_hunter. Say, hey, I love Monster Hunter. Do that by hashtagging. That's the little number sign. Hashtag Monster Hunter or hashtag MHP3. Or finally, you can go to the Facebook group, and you can go to facebook.com/monsterhunter, like the group, say you love Monster Hunter. And for the coming weeks, as long as I have enough stuff to give away, I will be personally giving away a little care package every week to one random person who has commented in one of those ways.
That sounds really, really awesome.
Yep, I've actually commissioned my brother-in-law to create original Monster Hunter-inspired art.
Wow.
And I've got all these other Monster Hunter-related goodies in my closet, and I'm ready to give it all away in the name of Operation Cherry Blossom.
Hey, the other one is here now.
Oh, by the way, I recently, speaking of Cherry Blossom Project, I also managed to get, possibly, I'm not really sure, to get at least one person into Monster Hunter Freedom Unite.
Oh, wow. Why did you choose Freedom Unite?
Because it was the most accessible one, because that person didn't have a Wii. So it was a guy at my work, Fabrizio, is his name.
What? Really?
Yes.
That's a good
name. Fabrizio.
I know Fabrizio, too.
Yes, he's actually the guy who joined me in my wonderful Let's Fail Secret of Mana, which is on YouTube right now, but it is in German. It is a Let's Play of Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo, and Fabrizio and another friend of mine, Max, we did a very special Let's Play of that game, at least 1 hour of it so far.
I used to. Bro,
stop being so good, man.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's cool.
Okay, blow it up. Blow it up. Yes.
I didn't have enough stamina, and I got blown up.
I actually I started playing Freedom Unite again because of you guys.
Oh, what?
That game is so mean. So mean.
Because like I felt like Try was, like you guys were saying, Try was a little easier than Freedom Unite.
And that's an understatement, really.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm finding that, especially because it's so much more of a hassle to play online, so I'm really just like soloing practically everything.
Freedom Unite? Wow.
Yeah.
Respect.
I mean, I'm only, I think I'm like 6-star offline, so I haven't really been, I've been trying to clear the offline first before I get online.
We should hook you up with Brad Galloway.
Yeah.
He was one of the guests, yet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's much love and respect for Brad. I like him.
Seriously.
I mean, he's a family man that hunts with his children.
That's so awesome. Like a little family of Monster Hunters.
Absolutely.
So, I was thinking about going into Freedom Unite myself.
We need you to do that, Christian, so we can start doing more podcasts.
See, I was wondering if I should do that or Portable Third. The thing is that Portable Third, that it's not translated yet, so I'm kind of wary about investing a lot of time in it because it's, you know, it takes more time and it's kind of, you know, not as satisfying.
Is it true that there's a way to transfer like a save from the Japanese version to the to an English version if they make one?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Okay. If and when it comes out, there will probably be a converter for the PSP version, which should be compatible with the PSP, which would be compatible with the PS3. That's just a thought. All the early adopters. I mean, I plan to start from scratch anyways.
Yeah, I would probably do that as well. I just want to see what happens, you know.
Don't want to.
You don't want to?
I don't want
to. Well, you're Nick.
I don't got time for any of this stuff. Man, okay, come October, wait, no, November, after I get married, all I'm going to do, I'm going to get on this couch, and I'm going to take like 2 weeks off, and I'm just going to play games.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm actually playing something like that as well.
Sounds awesome.
Welcome to marriage, honey. Yeah. Welcome to the couch.
I'm glad we spent all that money on that marriage.
It's like this one episode of Marriage with Children, where Al Bundy takes this vacation of, you know, going to TV, just watching TV all day long.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. And then Kristen's going to come home and she's going to say, "Why isn't the wedding cake in the freezer anymore?" And I'm going to say, "I really just wanted to eat something."
Don't you know how good wedding cake is, Kristen? Come on.
A year later?
Who can wait that long?
You're supposed to. That's what you do. You put your wedding cake in.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm waiting
for
it.
All right.
I've got 4 months and 25 days.
By the way, we did
2 months and 25 days.
We did those burials really, really well.
Yeah,
maybe you guys did.
You didn't? Yeah, well, you died. Well, Nick died once. That's a very, very unusual thing for our podcast to happen.
Yeah, I usually die twice or three times.
No.
Monster Hunter Nightmares, Episode 1, The Ghost Cart.
So when the Monster Hunter Society was first solidifying, there were these cat carpenters, and there was one really well-known feline carpenter, and the guild asked that this cat make them carts, you know, like the carts that you get carried in on when you die? Should we just keep rolling with it?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, they asked for 1,000 carts from this cat, and the cat was like, "All right, I can do that," but he didn't realize that with each cart, he put a little bit of his soul into it, almost like how like katana were made. So each one, he actually started to go a little crazy, and by the 1,000th cart, he was absolutely insane. Uh-huh. And into the 1,001st cart, he poured all of his insanity, and it became a haunted, unmanned cart. So it just goes around the Monster Hunter universe. Mm-hmm. There are no cats that push it around. And you can tell where it's been, because whenever you see a demolished base, that was an existing base, but it just stopped there and dropped off a bunch of bones. And it became cursed, and
the supplies were delivered at the same time.
So I don't know where the cat is. Nobody knows what happened to the cat. Maybe he's still making carts.
Maybe they're in this tunnel.
Right now.
So here's a question from Game Faithful, and he asks us, which game did you play before Monster Hunter?
All of them.
All of them.
Uh-oh. Yeah, what does that mean? Like,
yeah, I know, right?
What series did you play? Or I did have some games that I was like addicted to the way I am with Monster Hunter before Monster Hunter, but I don't know if that's what he means or not.
I played Final Fantasy XI.
Is that so? Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Nick has a lot of history of Final Fantasy XI.
Woo, quite a history.
A 1,000 days of playtime. What?
Really?
Oh god,
so
that's
much.
A lot.
Yeah. Look how horrified Noxella is.
That's amazing. How did you? No way. You really?
Yeah.
1,000. Yeah, I know other people that can have the same thing.
Yeah, my whole Link show was basically all people over 1,000 days.
Wow. Like actual playtime?
Yeah, the game was on. So sometimes you stand out there in bazaar goods, and so, you know, might go to work or something like that.
Oh,
that
okay, okay.
But, like, for the most part, yeah.
Wow. So you played it over a year? Like,
basically.
3 years?
Yeah, I played for a long time.
I had a friend that I would call, and I'd be like, "Hey, you want to hang out?" And he'd be like, "I got a hyper-notorious monster I have to kill."
Yep.
That would be it. It would be like I wouldn't see him for months.
Yep. I have videos of some of my old fights on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I've watched them.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
I played a lot of roguelikes. Do people know what those are?
I did.
Of course.
If anyone's played Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon or what's that one? Samurai one?
I know. I have it right here, but I can't see it from here.
Shiren
the Wanderer.
Shiren
the Wanderer.
Yeah,
games like that. But I played a lot of Dungeon Crawl. I played a bit of NetHack. I played a lot of Dungeon Crawl.
That's disgusting.
What about Diablos?
I did not play much Diablos.
Diablos, no. It's called Diablo, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
yeah, I like Diablo. But, I mean, and Diablo is probably like... one of the funnest roguelike type games, but I read this really interesting article on GameSet Watch that like created like a ranking scale of how much of a roguelike a game is.
Mm-hmm.
And Diablo actually came behind Toe Jam and Earl for the Genesis.
Man, that game was amazing.
Yeah, man.
Apparently, it's more of a roguelike. It's more of a roguelike than Diablo.
I'll end you.
This game, this game does everything. It's like a PS3 of games.
That's the next challenge, Toe Jam and Earl.
Toe Jam and Earl. All right, we're taking this to the cave.
Okay, and we're gonna do a competitive race to see who can get down to the bottom first.
I'm getting
the rocket skates. You're losing.
No. Okay. No one can beat me at anything because I will lose before all of you.
It's on. Going back to the questions, I wanted to just mention Monster Hunter is actually the game I invested most time, I think, from all the games I ever played. But I play a lot of games besides Monster Hunter all the time. And Shepard, I heard you recently played the game Catherine.
Yeah, I pre-ordered the deluxe box, which is really the way to do it. I mean, for $20 more, they clearly showed a lot of care to their fans to really get you as much value for that $20 as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things are billed as like large, but I mean, they shrink down pretty well if you run them in a hot cycle. You want a little.
that's what was stopping me from getting it because I am nowhere near a large, and yeah. I know like, huh? Now I'm kind of regretting just getting
the t-shirt wears okay too. No real problem.
How large is the t-shirt?
Oh, I posted the wrong quest. That's a little large. But again, if you shrink it down, it gets down to like a little bit between a large and a medium.
Because from what I understand, a t-shirt is supposed to be for the ladies.
You know, if my wife wore it, it would probably hang down a little bit.
That's the idea.
Yeah, but it's not that big. You'd have to be a really tiny person
okay.
to let that hang down as much as they would want you to hang it down.
Well, I guess you need a divorce, right?
I'm not sure that's a good reason to divorce somebody. She listens to the podcast, too.
Uh-oh.
Abort.
Leave somebody for that reason. Christian. No, get to finding me somebody that works on.
Okay. No, I ordered the game as well, and I'm looking forward to it. But unfortunately, I live in Europe, and the game is not released in Europe yet, and it takes like ages to deliver it. I'm curious.
I got it, and I have to say, it's one of the more like I don't consider myself a puzzle gamer by any means, but I'm really enjoying the. I guess you could call them puzzles. It's a really kind of weird action sequence or like action. Gameplay. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah. They're not crate puzzles.
I mean, they are, but there's more to it than that. I mean, well, maybe I just haven't played other. Is that a genre that I'm not familiar with? Crate puzzle?
No, not really. Well, I guess on like Flash games, maybe, or Facebook games or something like that.
There was a criticism I heard actually that you can get similar games for like free or cheap off of like the iPhone store.
Yeah,
but I don't see how that's possible.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe you could, but I think you know the thing that interests me most about Catherine is not so much you know the actual puzzle game, but the themes of the game. No.
Yeah, it's very mature for a console game, just for a game in general.
Definitely, and I am really glad to see that Atlus received like a lot of. A lot of love because they've published the game because it's apparently the most successful Atlus game ever published.
Yeah,
200,000 copies in the first week.
Yeah.
Yep.
And like, how many of those were the deluxe copies, which I'm sure got them a little extra premium?
Definitely.
Possibly.
Well,
I hope so.
Well, the guys who made the translation were actually the same guys who made the translation of Monster Hunter Tri.
Yeah, the 8-4 podcast people.
Were they?
Exactly, yes.
I didn't know that. I actually interviewed them for my site.
Ah, nice.
I saw the interview.
It was good. It got a lot of comments because people were not so happy about the lack of a Japanese voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually am finding the English voice acting is not as painful as I thought it would be.
You know, and actually I've heard the voice of Vincent in Japanese, and I think the English voice is a better fit. I think the guy's
Whoa,
got...
Oh, you know, you're going to get... Fanboy
man. Well, you know what? When I listen to Son Goku, I want to hear his English voice too. Deal with it.
Okay.
Wow. I hope you just put on sunglasses.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Man.
I've got my asbestos suit on right now, dudes. No, seriously. I mean, the English voice actors are all great. At no point do I feel like, you know, I need to be hearing the Japanese voices right now. I mean, everything is spot on perfect. the whole way through.
Well, it definitely sounded really, really great. So I'm looking forward to it. There is apparently some kind of multiplayer mode, but we are trying to figure it out if this works or not.
It requires a plane ticket to Germany.
I guess so. Well, you know, Gamescom is coming up. It's a good. This is the best way to visit Cologne right now.
Will you give me some of that? Did you save any of that winter wine for me? That glug?
You mean Glühwein? Yeah, Glühwein. No. It's. I guess we have.
You drank all the Glühwein?
No, we have a box of it back at the office, but it's. I don't think it's really good anymore. It might have turned into something else.
Drink it. Drink it on the podcast live.
Drink it.
we might do on our next Let's Fail.
Oh, that would be amazing. And by the way, I mean, this really shows why having multiple people when you're playing video games and like Let's Plays is absolutely essential. Because even though the podcast is entirely in German, it's still much more enjoyable than a lot of podcasts where you just have one person talking.
Oh, it's the best way to learn like really crappy German.
Oh,
Oh, now we have two monsters right here. Oh, wow, that's a nice party we're going here.
Yeah, and still, I was complaining about dung bombs last time, and I didn't bring any.
Oh, I got it.
Learned my lesson.
It's flying away anyways.
Oh, Maxella always here to save our.
Well, the little hand of God reached down and gave him a big handful of dung. Said, "Go."
So here,
banish the barrier.
Here's a question from Nitpicky Nick, and he asks us, "I love your podcast to death, but there is just one thing. Click the audio pronunciation button on the dictionary page for Wyvern. Why would you say...
Hey. Do you always go the speed limit? No. Shut up.
But is it Wyvern or Wyvern? Because I'm asking that somebody who has no idea, really.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Who knows these things?
Yeah, how can you claim to know for sure?
You think we follow the rules on this podcast?
So he claims it's Wyvern.
We sleep on Malatrion. Deal with it.
He claims it's Wyvern.
It can be.
That sounds acceptable. Person. That sounds okay.
Let's make it Wyvern then.
No, I'm not giving in.
I want to know how many times a day that guy misuses the terms your and your.
Oh, yeah.
Good
and,
counter.
Uses the incorrect term of its. Apostrophe.
Yeah. Oh.
Right? Figure it out.
There, and there.
There, and there. Oh.
Or mixes up loose and lose.
Yeah.
Oh. You guys are hurting me.
My favorite comment early on when I was making videos was somebody insisting that the way to pronounce Rathalos was Rathalos. How many syllables do you need in your Wyvern names, okay? I don't get it.
Oh,
it was the Klingon pronunciation, okay? Oh, wow. Oh, okay. He's paralyzed. Now what?
Shoot him.
Okay. I don't have a
in your case, you gotta stab him.
Yeah, I'm just gonna do that. Even though he's angry, he's Nick Fury.
It's okay. He can't do much. He's gonna breathe a little.
Uh-oh. That wasn't so healthy for me. I need vitamins.
Vitamins?
Mega vitamins.
He hasn't eaten any paralysis meat yet, has he?
Yeah, he's not really hungry.
You know, it seems like nowadays Devil Joes don't go as hungry as they used to.
It's all because of these Devil Joe pop stars who just look anorexic. And they look at them on TV and they're like, oh, I'm so fat, and you know, they just don't want to eat any meat.
Hungry, hungry Devil Joes.
Yes. Like Hannah Devil Joe and the Devil Joe brothers.
And Devil Joe brothers.
And of course, Lady Devil Joe.
Lady Joe.
Lady Jojo.
I'm down with that. Man, we are just dominating this Devil Joe.
He didn't eat any meat, so I guess he's a little bit weak.
His family. Maybe he's had stomach bypass surgery.
Oh, maybe.
Oh, that poor Devil Joe.
Oh, man.
We'll never know what a real meal is anymore.
Let's carve him. Let's carve him. I guess he has like one carve less.
What if I can find some Krispy Kreme donuts? Dude. Here's my bag of carves. I'm out of here.
You can kind of see the scar in his stomach from when he got the surgery.
Oh, wow. Definitely. Poor Devil Joe. See, anorexia doesn't pay off. Like crime.
No, I think crime pays off pretty well if you get away with it. I mean, there's that guy they just found that apparently made off with $200,000.
He's made off $200,000?
Was that how much money it was, Nick? Jumped out the plane?
What? I have no idea what that is.
You're talking about Top Gun?
Push it to the limit. Push it.
What? Where's Push It to the Limit? Push It to the Limit isn't in Top Gun. You're ruining my life.
Oh, look, I have I personally offended you? Well, I got a lot of.
Monster Hunter Nightmares, Episode 2. Beware what you eat.
Once upon a time, there was a traveling salesman, and he arrived at the Mogga village, right? He came like with this huge, large wagon pulled by two Apenos. And he said he came from like a far off land to sell a potion that would revolutionize the way we hunt monsters. So everybody was like super curious to find out, you know, what he would be selling, right? And the first thing he did is he rented like an entire house in Mogga village to set up a laboratory there. And he worked like for 2 weeks there straight, you know, and then there were like strange noises coming out of the laboratory. He wouldn't let anybody in. One day, you know, he came out with a small wagon. He had a like, small old wagon, looked a little bit expensive, old, and on a market, and he started selling, you know, these life powders. But there were like no ordinary life powders, they were like green. And he claimed that they released every hunter's superpowers. So one curious hunter, let's call him Peter, he was like extremely super suspicious. So he asked, you know, what these life powders were made of. But the salesman wouldn't tell. You know, it was like super secret. And over the following days, like many hunters used the superpower life powders, the green life powders. And they confirmed that they would give superpowers. So after a week, Peter couldn't take it anymore, and he went out with a small group of hunters and, you know, bought one of the green life powders. And he went for a hunt. And at first, everything went well, but you know, on their way back, they were surprised by a goble that waited for them, concealed next to their boat. Right. So the goble, you know, almost killed the entire party. But so, you know, Peter had no choice but to use the green life powder. And in fact, it tasted funky, but but it not only healed anybody, but it also gave them, like, K.O. Han, like, strength and vulnerability and sex appeal.
And that's not normal.
And with these superpowers, they were able to defeat the goble quite easily. So on the same night, Peter sneaked into the salesman's lab to see what the life powders were made of, right? He found like a large machine that was continuously producing those life powders, and they were producing like, this green substance. And on the other side of the machine was like a small shed, and there was something moving inside. So he opened the door to the shed, and what he seen inside was so horrible, he was overwhelmed by disgust, right? And at the same time, he felt like a thud on the back of his head. And it was the salesman with a hammer, and he super pounded him on his back. And Peter was never seen since then. But some children claim they have heard his last cry as he was dragged through the village in the middle of the night. And he was crying, "Listen, children, you gotta tell them, green life powder is supersized dung." So the salesman disappeared on that night as well, but they say he moved on to the city and that he's still selling his life powders, and perhaps he even found a way on how to make them undistinguishable from real life powders. Think about it the next time you use the life powder. Okay, so here is a question from Grave Apples. And he asks us, how do you think the game would change if they changed the zone type map into an open world one?
There would be more
loading times would take forever.
No, wait a minute. So the idea was, you know, that the entire world is just like a like World of Warcraft, basically. There are no loading times World of Warcraft, are they?
I really like the free hunt, but I mean, I guess I'm assuming this is a really big free hunt with no load times. That'd be a really cool mode to have. I'm not sure if it's possible.
Huh. Well, that's a question. If he's referring to the fact that, you know, there's this free hunt mode in Monster Hunter Tri, and so if, you know, if just he means that every map would be accessible as free hunt mode, or if he means if like the entire game would be like changed into something more like a World of Warcraft.
Well, I mean, the first part, I mean, of course, more is always better. As for the second part,
I don't know.
I'll leave it at.
I always find it very interesting that everything is like, you know, partitioned into this arena type of environments.
I think it's a lot less terrifying if you know you can just run away and heal and sharpen up.
Yeah, yeah, and also it seems more, you know, it seems more focused. You know, it's just, you know, the. You know, the interesting parts of an environment and not some kind of hallways or some really boring parts, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also traveling takes a lot less time than it would normally, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just focus on these, you know, small areas and you pretend like there's lots of stuff in between them.
Right.
Oh, I don't use my imagination at all. I'm completely angry.
You're not imagining the monsters dying and stuff like that, and or you know, being hurt when you
I fight. Do when I play Dungeon Crawl. I do not when I play KO Hunt. Yeah.
What?
Oh, he knows. I
can't promise anything though, because I haven't really tried hammering Elatrion and Try.
Do you guys care if I sleep bomb?
Oh, nope. Please do.
Okay.
Wise Teachings, according to K.O. Han.
I was out hunting Rathian online with my dearest friends. Unfortunately, two of the four of us had died. When I entered the next area, there, standing, was the Rathian. I saw the unmistakable hammer of K.O. Han, but no god holding it. Suddenly, the Rathian licked its lips, burped, and roared at me. I ran to the awesome hammer and tried picking it up, but it was at least the size of a Jinmaran, and weighed about 10 times more. The Rathian shot me with a fireball, making my switch axe fly from my back. I was about to be consumed, but as it opened its mouth, who should slide out but the almighty K.O. Han. He looked at the Rathian, and his awesomeness burned its eyes out. It just roared, so he touched its head, and in an instant, it transformed into a pile of plates and rubies. After what sounded like the roar of the Black Tigrex, we flew back and heard,
"K.O. Han, away!"
So back to the podcast.
Anyway, we are starting the first time we're doing this Elatrion. You are doing the Elatrion quest.
Elatrion is not.
Why would you say that? Why would you?
Nick is experimenting with social dissonance.
I mean, disco anime Star Trek.
Yes, that's basically what Captain Future is. It's disco anime Star Trek.
Oh, this is awesome.
I know, right?
Plus minus plus minus plus minus.
You should put the Captain Future theme song right now.
Okay,
oh,
I'll do it.
Oh, I won.
All right, Noxel.
Come on.
Oh,
I
no!
I pounded you away! Oh, no!
Hooray. Well,
you know what? We're dealing with it. And I just got hit anyways. And I got strong dragon boy.
Deal with it. We are going to... So Super Elatrion is a super strong, apparently, and a super problem. But the last time the problem was that you disconnected, right?
Well, I disconnected first, and then everyone had problems. That was crazy.
Yeah, everything falls apart when Nick is not here.
I'm the bridge that keeps you all together. I'm the glue.
Yeah, we're basically like Inception, and you're the architect.
Yeah.
That's a great reference. It's been a while since we've talked about that movie.
I know, right?
Guys, oh, I'm literally falling right now in my dream. I'm going to snap myself away.
What happens when you wake up? Will we still exist afterwards? Will you expect us tomorrow?
Well, sadly, what we're playing right now is just The Sims.
No!
Oh, I just failed this Leroy
Lee. Oh, whoa. Okay, gotta pull that out.
And that just happened. Hey, but you know what? The good thing is that in this dream, I remembered to dream myself some scatterfish.
Oh, that's good. I have a couple of questions.
Oh, yeah.
There's one very, very easy question right there. It's I can actually answer it myself. It's from Allergic to Stinks, and he asks, if a Raytheon doesn't have a tail, can it not poison you when it does the double backflick attack?
It will still poison you.
Yes, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, doesn't the poison come from the talons?
Does it?
I think it's got a stinger in the tail.
Yeah, it definitely has one.
So, maybe there's double stingers on the talons.
Maybe the blood is poisonous.
Maybe she's just spraying out the venom anyways.
Yeah.
It's just spraying out wildly. So why doesn't everything get it?
Maybe she's like one of those hypnotic frogs. When you lick them, you get like...
I'm not licking Raytheon.
How many frogs have you licked in your life, Christian?
I never, but I heard about it.
I heard about it on TV.
Yeah, on the Discovery Channel.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Okay, you didn't... Oh, she got us. He got us.
Uh-oh.
That lizard got us.
Whoa, I'm so scared right now.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You guys don't have
We do not have shields, no.
Teamwork.
But you know, guys, the thing with Raytheon is something I thought it was a bug or something, but they never removed it. So I guess it's deliberate right now.
What's that?
Well, the thing that Raytheon can still poison you with the tail.
I think it was just tricky programming.
Well, no, wait a minute. You have to program it. You know, that's if you want to her not to be able to poison you after the tail is gone, that's something you have to program extra. And I think they didn't think of it.
And oh, I think they thought of it.
Really?
It probably broke other things.
Maybe she was too easy afterwards.
By getting rid of her poison ability?
Yeah.
But I think that would reward the players for working to cut the tail off. I think that's the sort of thing that they would encourage.
I guess. It's difficult to tell. That's why we need to interview one of the guys who did actual Monster Hunter.
That would be nice.
Yeah, we should do that. Alright. Maybe that's a good moment to pimp my stuff.
Oh, right now? Talking about trauma?
Oh, yeah, man. Because when this podcast comes out, the game...
You know, this Elatrion is like a blunt force trauma to the head.
Basically, yeah. So that's the segue.
Do you think I can be back home this month?
Maybe.
There is an exam in 3 weeks.
I believe you should focus on your well-being first.
8/8/2011 is a very important day for a lot of us.
Yes.
It's a month and a day before my birthday.
Yes. Ooh. Wow. Wow. Really? When do you have a birthday?
9/9.
Oh, okay. Okay. A month and a day. Ah, okay. I see. Well, yeah, it's also a bit more than a week before my birthday. Which is the 19th. That was actually my goal, to release the game before my 30th birthday.
Well, it's kind of like two months before Roy's birthday, too, right?
What?
When's your birthday, Roy?
October 7th.
Oh, okay.
My birthday is October 13th. Roy, what? I'm just going to throw this out here. Why don't we celebrate our birthdays together? Play a little Monster Hunter.
Seriously.
That is
totally serious.
You guys,
that will happen.
This is going to be like...
Hey.
And I'll order us a special Monster Hunter theme.
Wait. You guys need to get together with Roger Travis and play some Monster Hunter.
Seriously. Does he play it?
I played Monster Hunter with Roger Travis, yeah. You're a professor.
Are you kidding me?
Ah.
Roger Travis, if you're watching this podcast, man, you're a pretty sweet classics teacher. All right.
Who's Roger Travis?
You know what? This podcast wouldn't have happened without your readings. So,
Roger Travis is a classics professor at UConn. He's very much into video games.
Ah, interesting.
I think you've argued with him at certain points.
Well,
on Twitter.
That's what you do all the time. I argued with him?
I think so.
Roger Travis.
Was it argued or discussed civilly?
What's his Twitter handle?
I think it's just Roger Travis.
Okay, it sounds a little bit familiar, I must say.
Yo, Roger, look, we need you to host us. You make a sangria, we'll bring the cake and the Monster Hunter, and we'll just, like, totally hang out and podcast together.
Oh, man, I'm so looking forward to it.
Just
between
remember to
October 7th and 13th.
And actually, for our European listeners, we might make some kind of Monster Hunter meetup at Gamescom.
Oh.
That's on you, Christian. I mean, you can start it. We don't need permission.
Well, there will be a booth of the Cologne Game Lab where I will be probably all the time because I have to, you know, advertise our institute. But I guess we can kind of hijack it maybe, or at least meet in the same hall, and there are like always like chill out areas where you can just sit down and perhaps grab, you know, your PSP and do a quest or two. It will be awesome. Yes. And we have mentioned the 8th August, because this is when my game Trauma will be released. It will be released on my website, www.traumagame.com, or it will be also released on Steam.
And we can talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that, you mean right now?
As of August 8th, we can
yes,
talk about that.
Yes, we're going to talk about it. But, well, we know when the podcast is out, the game will probably already out.
Wait, I hope that on that day we can talk about Easter eggs in the game. Are there Easter eggs that we should look for?
There are Easter eggs in the game, as a matter of fact.
Are there any references to Monster Hunter?
No.
Put one in. Last minute patch. Day one patch.
Yeah,
day zero patch.
I must admit this game has totally nothing to do with Monster Hunter, so I can imagine that a lot of people who listen to this podcast are actually not really interested in the game at all.
Look, it's the one game more amazing.
Can you put in your Baby Don't Hurt Me remix?
yes.
That's maybe something we're going to put in my next game. That's a different game right now. But, you know, it's... I don't want to sell my game to my listeners. But if you can help me a lot by promoting the game to...
By Trauma.
So how is the Patreon going?
It's going pretty well.
It's actually
going
pretty well this time.
Yeah, it's okay.
We got both of them?
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No more flying. You're grounded. Patreon, you stay in your room.
Young man. Well, she's a she, right?
I think she's a she.
She's a maniac on a volcano.
She's so mad right now. So mad.
There's so much anger in this game.
You mad, bro?
I think she's jelly is what she is.
Yeah.
Oh, jelly? Super, you jelly? You
super,
jelly?
Super jelly.
You displeased?
What? I'm displeased. I'm uncomfortable with...
You upset?
Yes.
hate that tail. Nick, get that tail, please.
Get the tail.
I've been trying. I've been chasing that tail around.
Oh,
like,
man.
A sailor.
Man.
Sailor.
You've been chasing tail like a sailor? Well, I guess there's nothing inherently sailor. Wrong with that saying. Thank you.
Oh. I think I left the podcast.
Monster Hunter Nightmares, Episode 3, Never Go on Vacation.
Once upon a time, in Loch Lek Village, there was a couple named Putty and Christian.
What?
Now, Putty and Christian owned a mansion off of the side of the city, and it was far away from any other local inhabitants. One weekend, they had to go away, so they asked their good friend Shepherd to help house-sit for them. Now, when Shepherd house-sitted, he was all alone. There was nobody in the house, and the couple wouldn't be back for another 2 days. During the night, Shepherd wanted to watch some TV, so he went and searched around the house looking for one TV. There was only one in the bedroom of Putty and Christian. But there was something very strange. In the room, there was a blue guildie, and there was something very strange about this guildie. The way it stared, its smile, the way it waved its hand. It was all very unsettling. So Shepherd decided to give Putty and Christian a call and asked if he could watch TV in the room, but first if he could remove that guildie. And when he called Putty and Christian, they responded, "What guildie?"
Mind blown.
Hey, and we're back.
Hey, wonderful.
Oh, boy.
What happened?
Internet.
Are you still fighting?
Yeah, we're still fighting.
That's wonderful. That was actually a good moment to play a little bit of music.
Just a little, speed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Play the Plucky Daisy song that I like to play.
No, you have to play the Captain Future song.
Man, what was all that about?
It's Captain Future, man.
He's from the future.
No.
Hey,
apparently so.
Yeah.
I mean, this fight's already kind of tricky. I'm just glad it's not a Jen. Jen just destroys everything.
Jen? Moran?
Jen's easy. Oh, you mean in terms of connections?
Yeah.
Do I need to try and call Roy again?
I'm trying to call him
automatically.
Trying to follow him and give him fish.
Follow him and give him fish.
Oh, it took off the one shout-out I made that says suffer like G did.
What? Oh, no.
We need to heal Roy. Roy's
going
to die.
Life fighters.
Suffer like
fighters.
G did?
Are we recording again?
Yes.
We're still recording. You never stopped recording, right, Christian?
Yes. Never stop. No surrender.
Okay, there'll just be like blank space there.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I'm fighting a Royal Rudroth, but it doesn't work.
What do you mean it doesn't work? It's Royal Rudroth.
I have to capture him, but he didn't go in, and now I can't put a trap.
Uh-oh.
I mean,
you
could probably use more paralysis stuff too, right? Oh yeah, how are you not dead?
It's Nick. He can't die. He will never die.
Max potion. Yes! I live to tell the tale.
His head is like totally. Yeah!
Alright.
Got it!
There's the tail.
God, I can finally hit other parts of it now. That dong is deed. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Dong is D'd. I de-donged it.
Oh, okay, I see.
I probably just charged somebody through.
A little bit. That's okay.
I consider it repayment for all of the supercharges that I've taken so far.
Okay, guys, here's the discussion starter right there. It's from Micro, and he's asking, what's the best job in Monster Hunter?
The best job in Monster Hunter?
Yes.
De-donging.
The de-donger? The dong collector?
Dong collector.
The feline furnisher.
You mean the guy who creates all the furniture? Furniture?
Yes.
Because all he gets to do all day is play with his dolls.
You give him random monster parts, and he just does random stuff.
What can I do with this? I could see another green gilby.
I make a little tiny ship.
What is this? A piece of poop? Gilby.
That's exactly how it works. Yeah, I guess. The de-donger would be the guy who is like in the every time you like capture a monster, they make the monster parts out of it, and they like professional de-dong the monsters. You know,
Nick's good at that. That's what he's doing.
Yeah. That's what I did. I had to run away because there were some ugly cornering happening there, so it was time to go.
I wonder what kind of instruments they're using for de-donging.
All of them. I think that perhaps...
Scalpel.
Yeah, I know, like a huge scalpel probably.
It's the only important one.
It's probably like in this one really crappy...
I'm worried for Lydia. Or Roy, that is.
Yeah, he's not so there. There was this like this King Kong movie where they replaced the heart of King Kong.
What? Please, keep going.
Yes. With a dong?
No.
This is not about re-conging. This is de-donging.
Re-conging. Oh, man.
No, I'm serious. There's like a sequel to the 70s King Kong, like King Kong 2. And it starts out with King Kong getting an artificial heart. And they show like a King Kong operation, which is really crazy because they're using like a crane to lift the heart into his chest and stuff like that. What's the worst job in Monster Hunter?
The dong cleaner.
Yes.
The dong, the cursed person who cleans off the dongs after they've been collected.
Yeah.
Equipment box manager.
Oh man!
Oh god! Man. I do not want that job.
Seriously.
The guy who has this. Every time you select the sort box, he's that guy that has to manually sort it for you.
Oh god, that poor man.
Like you think it's such a convenience, but in reality there's just this little guy standing behind the box reorganizing every little item.
Those poor cats.
Hey, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think I was having some problem with my mic. Sorry about that.
It seems like this, yes. Oh, well, so wonderful.
Skype crashed also.
Everything went wrong. But you guys are still fighting.
We are.
And only Shepard has died, embarrassingly.
So oh, yeah, right.
No, I died.
What?
Oh, you did? Oh, yes. You died. That was so long ago.
So you can't die once now. You have to survive.
Yeah, think they'd give us, like, extra lives on this, but no. So, Roy, we've been trying this whole time. Can you use some more ammo? Can, like, we get any... Like, it's only been two paralysises, right?
It has, and I'm out of stuff, so if you guys want to give me anything, I can...
I have sleepy fish.
Noxella has been chasing you, trying to give you ammo.
Oh, I saw the kicking. I thought that was just because you were trying to stop me.
Hey, Fishrooms, right behind you.
What? No.
No. Can you fall?
All right,
hold on.
I had
they're attacking.
I saw you dramatically dive out of there when the
Elastic... No.
Are you?
Look at that out of here. I'm going to knock him over. I didn't knock him over.
This is a good exercise in dodging.
Oh god.
Suffer like G did.
No, you pronounced it wrong. You have to say suffer like G did.
G did. But you know, the best The best response to that horrible voice acting was in the House of the Dead Overkill. Uh-huh. They're like, "What does the G stand for?" Shoot-choo. And yeah,
shoot-choo. Oh yeah. He's like this black guy who's always he was using a foul language.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played this game yet, but it's on my backlog list.
I played a lot of House of the Dead and Virtual On last weekend.
Huh.
At the arcade.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the things with Overkill, that they try to make it intentionally like B-movie style.
Yeah, it was definitely a slaughterhouse type movie.
So what I found amazing that they put put in deliberately like continuity errors.
Yeah,
like somebody's taking off the glasses and the next shot he has the glasses on them. and
that was a thing ever since Dead Rising, where you could take off the sunglasses and have a pair of sunglasses on.
And I find this amazing because in games it's actually more difficult to do that than in movies. Like in movies, continuity errors are very difficult to prevent, right? But
yeah.
But in games, it's like super easy. So making continuity errors is actually something you have to really, really, pay attention to. What?
I have Bat Out of Hell stuck in my head now.
Bat Out of Hell?
Bat Out of Hell.
Oh.
Bad Bill of Health?
Okay. Bad Bill of Hell.
I don't like where you guys are going.
So, Nick, you have a Bad Bill of Health stuck in your head.
It's true. I had high blood pressure, but now it's better.
What did you do against it?
Well, I stopped eating fast food every day.
Oh.
You know, when you're poor, you don't really have much of a... Here you go.
You got Trish.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Kristen is like, "Well, Nick, you shouldn't eat those anymore." And so then I didn't.
Wow.
That was awesome. I like that.
Are we just putting bombs down randomly?
We can do that.
I'll get behind that.
Oh, hello, free trip over here. A mega potion.
That potion's
better than other potions.
Taro.
Uh-oh.
This is the bomb. This is the bomb corner.
Sorry, I put some bombs over here. Oh.
Oh, that was incredible.
Good job.
Man,
you did it!
Across the map.
OMG!
Freaking get that stuff into your pockets!
OMFG!
Carve, guys!
We didn't get the tail, did we?
Yeah, we did.
It's way
over. No,
yeah, wait. There's no way I'm gonna get the carves from that.
I'm gonna make that because I need tails. I don't need body parts. Where?
Better run over there. It's on the other ledge. Run.
I'm going.
Run, cowards, run.
Get some older dragon blood.
I got all the suits I want.
Man, I'm so jealous on right now.
A big
steaming right. I can make it.
You can nope.
No, I had one for carve. I hate when that happens.
Better get some sky pierces in the rewards. I'm going to be so mad.
You mad, bro?
I will be mad.
Jelly.
Don't need any more.
You upset?
Oh, I got a sky piercer.
I got broken sky piercers.
I've got so many broken sky piercers. I am so angry right now.
I got two sky piercers, a dragon gem, a talon. I got two sky piercers, that one. Don't hate me, bro.
Monster Hunter Nightmares, Episode 4, Tale of the Baggy Man.
He lurks in a cave near the icy tundra, his broken form shambling through the frost and bones. Pale and blue of skin, his yellow eyes shine luminously in the dark, and his thin, long arms wrap themselves around the unwary, while foul, blood-pointed teeth sink into soft flesh. Sharp nails at the end of long, bony fingers stroke you into the deepest sleep there is. He is called by many names, but to the hunters of Loklak, he is known as the Baggy Man.
The creature
is a demon, an evil sheep herd who summoned the winter and pulled caravans down into his evil embrace to live with him forever in his cave. Sometimes he waits until the calm after the storm to attack. When the hunters relax their guard, lulled into thinking the danger has passed with the storm, the Baggy Man bursts forth from the dark snows of the cave, spewing forth gas and wind like venom. And the caravan will vanish, never to be seen again. There is only one warning before he strikes. If you listen closely, you can hear him singing against the harsh wind and the thrashing snow. Come into the cave, love. Dance beneath the ice, where dwell the bones of hunter lads underneath my knife. If you can, flee immediately, for the Baggy Man is right beside you. If you cannot, then pray to God for mercy, for the Baggy Man will grant you none. His gas will suffocate, and his long blue arms will lovingly stroke you into depths of the cave, and he will feast on your bones among the giggies.
I'm scared right now, and I have to go to sleep. Oh my.
You guys are a special situation.
Yeah, we are the special. We're special.
There are many people that do call us special, Roy. You would not be the first.
What you need are the goons.
So I wanted, before we go, I wanted to ask Roy to pimp your stuff.
Okay. So once again, Monster Hunter, or I'm sorry, My Fair Hunter podcast, which starts August 8th. The premise is I'm just training someone from absolutely nothing to being able to fight every monster in Monster Hunter Tri. We're going to go over everything within reason. You know, somebody on the Capcom Unity forum was asking about, like, attack percentage and, you know, the real nitty-gritty. And I don't think, for the sake of brevity or attention spans, that we'll be getting into that minutia. But, you know, just how do you use all the different weapons in the game, how to combine properly, how to gather, what to go after for certain monsters, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely watch the first episode and hopefully you'll like it. Mm-hmm. In addition
do
to
you
that...
Do plan for it to be a weekly series or a bi-weekly series or, I mean, bi-month?
Oh.
Yes.
Yes,
every
it's
other
actually,
week?
It's going to be weekly.
Okay.
Hopefully I can keep that afloat while I'm, you know, working full-time and all that.
Yeah, so what I wanted to ask about My Fair Hunter, where can people find it?
It's actually, we have a Tumblr, so it's myfairhunter.tumblr.com.
Uh-huh.
I'm also going to have a Vimeo account where I'm going to upload everything, but not on YouTube just because I don't have, you know, the no upload limit, and I don't really want to deal with cutting an episode into like a million parts.
I know.
That's very annoying.
Yeah.
And you'll have, of course, links on your own personal website, Kotawari. Is it kotawari.com?
.org.
.org.
Ah, okay. Yep. Good. Yep. Wonderful. So it's called My Fair Hunter. Is it a reference to My Fair Lady?
It is, yeah. And Shepard's actually the first one, I think, who got that. So props to you on that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've told other people about it, and they're like, oh, that's a weird name. I've mostly just start by explaining that.
What is wrong with people?
I mean, you could. I mean, you should call it My Fair Pygmalion and like just really hammered it home. The Pygmalion is the name of the play. My Fair Lady is the name of the movie.
Yep.
Oh. Wow. Okay. Wow. You're an expert, Shepard.
Well, thank you. I'm an expert in something. I mean, at the very least, English literature. Please, come on.
So it's a lady friend you're recording this podcast with, right?
Correct. And she's actually going to be doing a bunch of art too.
Wow.
Yeah, like if you go to the site now, you'll see like a nice banner that she created, and we're probably going to have some prints and stuff in a similar style for sale or like giveaways or whatever. Because I think there needs to be more fun Monster Hunter art on the internet. There just isn't enough.
Yeah. Also, speaking of art, we posted this wonderful art of My Little Kelby on Facebook. And I also contacted the person who painted that wonderful paint Kelby image, so we can have a wonderful background image as well. And she's doing also a lot of Monster Hunter art on DeviantArt. And yeah, I totally agree that Monster Hunter needs a wonderful art like this.
Mm-hmm.
We would thank you everybody for sending in questions. Please do keep them coming, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can go on lots of wonderful websites. You can go on socialdistance.com, which is our most important website, where you can go into the forum, leave on comments and stuff like that. You can also go to our Tumblr blog, monsterhunterpodcast.tumblr.com. You can write us an email at monsterhuntercast@googlemail.com, and you can comment on YouTube as well. There's so many ways to get in touch with us. Oh, you even have a Twitter account, right?
Yes.
Ah, oh, wow. Oh,
Monhuncast.
And you can
Monhuncast.
Monhuncast. That's right. And you can go also on Facebook. We have 300 people on Facebook.
Oh, and there will be.
Yeah, I'm still licking the guy that was the 300th.
Ooh,
licking?
You're licking him?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You mean liking him?
No, I mean like.
Okay.
With his tongue and all.
Yeah, Nick has a special Facebook.
I mean, Baroth Wyvern is. He's currently reading Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, yes, he would read that. Oh, yeah, and then afterwards would play Bioshock and say, like, well, this isn't right. Oh, this is not
what?
He was Baroth not entitled to the mud of his pit.
All right, guys. Roy, thank you for being with us today. I hope you've been enjoying it as much as we did.
I definitely did. Thank you so much for having me on.
And maybe we can repeat it in the future, perhaps with your lady friend.
That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, when she's gone through everything, we have to have you again after that.
Definitely,
that would be amazing.
Definitely.
Okay.
So we will be keeping in touch, and also the next episode will be, of course, as always, next Monday or maybe one day later or something like that. We wish you good luck, good hunt, and remember, only you can prevent forest fires in your pants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, pants.
Oh man.
When is the last time your underpants caught fire, Christian?
I'm preventing it right now, okay?
you speak from experience.
It's my desire.
It's do you know what hot pants why they call it hot pants?
Ooh.
I'm just saying.
I follow you. Hey everyone, this is Shepard from socialdistance.com. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for supporting Operation Cherry Blossom for this past week. It has been an amazing success. First of all, we've had around 750 replies on the Capcom Unity page. Around 2,000 more people have started following Monster Hunter on Twitter, and God knows how many people are starting to follow on Facebook. This has been an amazing success, and I definitely know that Capcom is listening now. So over the next couple weeks, let's keep it up. Okay, so next I want to announce the winner for the Monster Hunter Podcast Festa Week 1. And it is... Trey from the Capcom Unity boards. Congratulations, Trey. His post exclaims, I will buy 4 copies of Monster Hunter Portable 3rd if it's released, 4 PSPs and 4 PS3s. So for the sake of Monster Hunter in the West, let's hope there's a lot of people as excited as Trey is for Monster Hunter Portable 3rd. And again, what Trey won was a now signed copy of Dose Alligator. I have a little signature here now. So all these will definitely have a signature from me. I try to mimic the Monster Hunter type as best as possible. And of course, again, the Monster Hunter Portable 3rd sticky screen cleaner. Congratulations again, Trey. Okay, so I'm sure all of you have been sticking around because you want to see what the prizes are for next week. Well, again, we have another copy of Dose Alligator. Except this time he's in a bit of a rainbow color and the alligator himself is in white. And of course, it is signed. Now, this may not have you excited, but I promise you the next prize is going to be amazing. So what we have here is a Monster Hunter Tri poster. Looks pretty normal until you get down to the bottom. And it is actually signed by the producer and directors of Monster Hunter. The producer is Ryozo Sugimoto, and the director is Kaname Fujioka. And you can even see, for all of you cha-cha lovers out there, that there's even a little cha-cha. Now, to my knowledge, unless you were at the New York launch party event, or possibly the UK launch party event, there are none of these signed posters around out there. If you want to get these prizes, there are 3 ways to enter. And of course, make sure you are either over the age of 18 or have your parents' permission. Okay, so the first thing you have to do is register on the Capcom Unity forums. Post in the official Operation Cherry Blossom thread in the link below. You can post up to once a day and just show your support for the series. Say what you've loved about Monster Hunter in the past, what you're looking forward to in Monster Hunter in the future, and what you're doing now to support Monster Hunter in your area and amongst your friends. Second, you can go to Twitter and tweet at @_monster_hunter and hashtag, that's the number sign, Monster Hunter or MHP3. Doing so will show to me that you are supporting Operation Cherry Blossom and that you are doing your part to getting the Operation Cherry Blossom message out to the community. And of course, finally, you can go to facebook.com/monsterhunter, like the group, and post on any of the threads they have there. Anyone that's posted in that thread and likes the group will end up getting a chance to enter into the prize for this coming week. So whether they know about Operation Cherry Blossom or not, they have a chance to enter. Okay, so until next time, this is Shepard saying good luck and have a good hunt.